Country Club FM.
Seems like when I was gone, we had a ton of people die. And would have been great for Almanac Salutes, and then I get back, and then people stop dying, which I guess is a good thing.
Something that's kind of out of our control, but
is it?
Well.
Today it's the Bob Almanac, No Almanac Salute. It's Wednesday, March 12th. This date in 1894, Coca-Cola began selling Coca-Cola in bottles. Coca-Cola's sold in bottles for the first time. It's at a candy store in Vicksburg, Mississippi. Prior to that, they used leather pouches, sheep stomachs, and camel bladders, and all kinds of other things to disseminate and distribute Coca-Cola in. Right. Sounds like out of those other options that glass bottles became a really good option.
And they kind of had a sleek design to them, and they did nice work with
that. Well, it was the twist.
Yes.
Or no, that was Pepsi. Pepsi had the twist. Coca-Cola was more the hourglass curve.
Yeah. I did experience how, in the South, everything's a Coke,
What kind of Coke do you want? I want root beer.
Right. Exactly. It's different. And somebody said, I know you're from... you're from the Midwest. I go, why? Because you drink pop.
Yeah.
And we don't drink pop down here. We drink soda or Coke.
But it's soda pop.
Yeah.
Pop is just, that's a derivative of soda pop.
Right.
1912, Girl Scouts organization was founded. And believe it or not, the single most important contribution of Girl Scouts, not cookies.
It isn't?
No. Ooh. Apparently they... help form young ladies and get them ready as they blossom into womanhood.
Yeah, sure.
For those Girl Scouts.
Cookies aren't bad.
The group was originally known as the American Girl Guides before they were the Girl Scouts. 1933, we had ourselves a fireside chat.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
My friends, I want to talk for a few minutes with the people of the United States about banking.
Can you hear that sizzle of the acetate?
Mm-hmm.
Believe that was the substance that was recorded on. Franklin Delano Roosevelt talked to the nation, made a radio, and had a radio address. Much more than address. It was a chat. It was a fireside chat.
Sure was.
Can you imagine if President Trump did those?
Right.
They'd go on for a long time.
They could.
This one here was less than 10 minutes. I don't know if President Trump can go less than 10 minutes.
Probably not. But FDR, you think about the times there in the 30s.
Well, they were talking about the banking crisis. It was the Depression.
Yeah. So it was much needed.
Plus, that acetate was pretty expensive back then.
Well, yeah.
And you put it on a jump drive and it just isn't very expensive.
It's pretty impressive how they did that. And got it across the nation in 1933.
Fireside chats, 1947. Oh, this is news about FDR's successor.
Before America's Congress, President Truman makes the most momentous speech since the death of Franklin Roosevelt. He declares political war on Soviet Russia. In American eyes, Britain is no longer the bulwark against communist expansion.
Great Britain finds itself under the necessity of reducing or liquidating its commitments in several parts of the world, including Greece.
So this whole thing here was the beginning of the Cold War, basically, because Truman set forth his Truman Doctrine. Mm-hmm. I'm going to steal the Truman Doctrine. Mm-hmm. So U.S. President Harry Truman, Truman Doctrine, talked to Congress, fighting communism in 47. 1966, we lost jockey Johnny Longden. Johnny Longden. He didn't die, he just retired. But what I think is interesting about these great jockeys, and we're talking about your Billy Shoemaker or your Eddie R. Carroll, they all had similar numbers. So he raced horses for 40 years, and he won 6,032 races.
Does it get to be old hat?
That's
after
100
about 5,000 of them.
It's 100 and that's 150 races won per year. So for 40 years of his career, that means he's winning 150 races. Now, I don't know that much about horse racing and the horse racing industry, but would one jockey race in multiple races per day?
They must.
On different horses?
They must. I don't know how you get that many.
How many you get that many wins? It's insane.
Yeah. I suppose he was rather diminutive.
They all are.
Guessing.
You never saw a guy over two bills. The horse by that time is giving up.
Right.
1966 was when that happened. How about 1980 in the news?
Egan described Gacy as rational, premeditated, and evil, who killed his victims like flies when they got in his way. Carefully planned murders that resulted in bodies and bodies and bodies, day after day after day. Defense attorney Robert...
Pretty grimsome, grim and,
just
awful, but also poignant. I mean, it's what happened. Mm-hmm. John Wayne Gacy was found guilty. He was the killer clown. He was found guilty of 33 murders. Those were ones they knew of.
Oh, my gosh. Just insane. He was.
He was later sentenced to death. He was found guilty on this date, and then he was later sentenced to death. 12 death sentences. Largest mass murder case in the country's history at that point, and he eventually was put to death. But he was on death row for more than a decade.
That long?
He was not executed until the 90s, if I'm not mistaken.
Where was the Ron White Express Lane for those?
Yeah, exactly. Well, he weren't in Texas.
That's
this
right.
is Illinois.
Yeah.
1994.
Duke goes to his stepson, who happens to be a model maker, and asks him to fabricate something that looks like the eyewitness descriptions of the beast. So using plastic, wood, and a toy submarine, they create this model of a creature with a long neck and a small head.
And then Duke goes to the lock with his other son and creates that iconic photograph.
Yeah, that photograph is a hoax. History Channel just debunked it.
Yeah.
It's confirmed as a hoax, 1994. The photo that was taken by Marmaduke. We need more people named Marmaduke, not just dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Marmaduke Wetherell of the Loch Ness.
They
fabricated it. Toy submarine, head and neck attached. It was much smaller. They made it look larger to scale.
Mm-hmm.
1994. Let's remember this talk show host today.
Dip it, fat face. Bring on the bimbos, baby!
That's my kind of talk show right there. You're bringing on the bimbos.
Right.
Morton Downey Jr.
Oh, man.
He would eat raw hamburger, or would he actually eat it, or would he just feed it to his piranhas? Because he had a fish tank of piranhas.
Right.
And he took a bite. Maybe that's why he died at the age of 6, 7. He was also a heavy smoker.
Right.
Anybody remembered watching the show?
He was out there a little ways.
It was a volatile show.
It was volatile.
It really was. And then in the news, this is 6 years ago already.
50 people are facing charges in a huge college cheating scheme. Actresses Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin were both indicted today. They're among parents accused of paying bribes to help get their kids into elite universities such as Yale, Georgetown, and Stanford.
That's a great message you're sending to your kids, by the way. You're not smart enough or athletically gifted enough to make it into these schools, so we're just going to bribe them.
Right.
And then that's a good lesson because then you can just basically bribe your way through life.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Very sad.
So that was 2019.
Can we say they chose poorly?
So Felicity Huffman, she was Desperate Housewives, and Lori Loughlin, she was Aunt Becky.
Right.
Or Aunt Becky on Full House, by the way, if you needed some context of those parents that were, what are they, Neil, there?
Cheaters.
Yeah, they were cheating.
Right.
Let's move on to birthdays now.
Who's there?
It's me, 99. Let me in.
I'm sorry, 99, but I can't let you in until you prove to me that it is really you.
Come on, Max, it's really me.
Sorry, 99, but you know the new control protective code. I cannot open that door unless I am absolutely sure that it is really you. Oh, it's you. Come on in.
Yeah, Maxwell forgot to lock the door with all those new control security protocols. So Barbara Feldon, she was Agent 99.
Just his voice and the way he talks makes me laugh. I mean, it was an hilarious show.
Don Adams is just so good.
It was a treat.
Barbara Feldon, Agent 99. I would love for her to live to her agent number.
Right.
Live to 99. She's 92 today.
Oh, that's a good
run. So I got 7 years to go.
Right.
Let's go, Barbara Feldon. Let's go, Agent 99.
Yeah.
92 today. Liza Minnelli is 79.
My name is Linda, and I'd like to thank you very much. You did a nice thing. It's an interesting kiss. Kiss your wife like that?
I'm not married.
Keep smiling. 688-5549. Don't expect big things on the first date.
Of course, Liza Minnelli, there she is as Linda, but of course we can't really play that scene without hearing from Hobson and his response to Liza Minnelli's character.
Yes, it's been a distinct pleasure meeting you. Arthur, we really must be going. Thank you for a memorable afternoon. Usually one must go to a bowling alley to meet a woman of your stature.
Yes, indeed, a bowling alley.
That is choice.
And you know, the great thing is you can't offend a bowling alley.
You really can.
You really can. You can say whatever you want about a bowling alley. You can't offend it.
Right.
Which is a beautiful thing. Liza Minnelli is 79 today. This guy did many, many, many familiar cartoon voices.
Well, the name on the crate says Jameson Hyde White, Professor of Archaeology, London, England. Well, gang, it looks like we're up to our armor plates in another mystery.
And his probably most recognizable voice would be that of Freddy.
Oh, from
Scooby-Doo. Freddy.
Yeah.
Freddy from Scooby-Doo. His name is Frank Welker. He took over then the voice of Scooby-Doo when Don Messick either retired or died.
Okay.
But he did voices for the Transformers and many, many more. Frank Welker here today is 79. Here's another voice. Freddy was one of those meddling kids, Neil.
Yes, he was.
They were always meddling.
This voice did pretty well. Had a few hits.
James Taylor. He is 77 on this almanac.
Starring June Lockhart, Hugh Riley, John Provost as Timmy, and, of course, Lassie.
Yeah, John Provost, who is Timmy here this day. Last I checked, he was still with us. Happy birthday to him. 75 today.
That's a good run.
For John Provost, Timmy. How many wells did he fall into?
Well, more than most, I would say.
More than there were probably available wells. You think by some point in time they'd be putting covers on these.
Yeah.
Because Timmy had fallen into, well, in fact, I think the wells, the actual wells, filed a restraining order on Timmy to keep him away because of the liability, Neil.
Yeah.
I mean, all the insurance that these water wells had to put forth because this kid was just continually falling in them. But, of course, they always knew that Lassie would be there to save the day. John Provost, Timmy from Lassie.
Dancing. Oh, baby, do it, baby.
Dancing, dancing, dancing.
She's a dancing machine.
Name this group, Neil.
Move it, baby.
Five?
Yes, it is. It's Marlon Jackson of the Jackson 5.
Okay.
Born this date in 57. Makes him 68.
A little older than Michael.
Just a tad, yes. Marlon Jackson, 68 here today. We have Daryl Strawberry on the list today.
The straw man.
Yeah. You know, he came here after he had the drug issues.
Yes.
With the New York Mets. And he came here to the St. Paul Saints. He hit 18 home runs in 29 games. He ate up the Northern League pitching.
The pitching, not good enough. And he was a talented hitter.
You know, there's a 30 for 30. It's Doc and Daryl, and I haven't watched it yet. I understand it's very, very interesting.
I caught it like halfway through.
They were talking about the Mets and the things they did in the 80s, like stuff in the bullpen and stuff in the clubhouse with fans during the game.
Yeah, it was.
Goodness. Yeah. But you know what happened? Strawberry, with all his problems, money problems, health problems, drug problems, you know what? He has since turned it around. He has now dedicated himself to the ministry.
Oh, nice.
Preaching the gospel and running drug and alcohol abuse treatment centers with his wife.
Good for him.
How cool is that? He's actually an ordained minister.
I love
you could be married by Daryl Strawberry.
That's pretty cool. Good
he
for
is,
him.
He is 63 today. The actor Aaron Eckhart is 57. He's been in a number of things. I saw him first in the movie Thank You for Smoking, but he was the president in Olympus Has Fallen. Remember that?
Oh, yes.
And, of course, Harvey Dent in the Dark Knight movies.
The world is cruel. And the only morality in a cruel world is chance. Unbiased. Unprejudiced. Fair. His son's got the same chance she had. 50-50.
What happened to Rachel wasn't chance.
He would like to flip a coin. Two-Face, Neil.
He was Two-Face.
He was Two-Face. He was Harvey Dent, who was also Two-Face. And Aaron Eckhart is 57 and a former Timberwolf today.
Ryder on the left wing, dancing, juking, dribbles to the baseline. Anderson falls down. Ryder's left open. Jump shot, good! Oh, can you believe the move by Ryder? He wanted to do the two-step and really couldn't keep up, and he fell right down on his behind.
Kevin Harlan.
That's only he can do it.
Yeah, Isaiah Ryder. What did I just see?
Rider.
Was it one of the Flying Willendas? Was it Superman? No, it was Easy Ryder. He had some talent, had some ups. He won the NBA dunk contest there at the All-Star game.
Yeah, he had skills.
He was, I believe, on the roster for the Lakers in 2001 when they won the championship. Ah. But he was drafted by the Timberwolves. Sid Hartman wanted them to draft Calbert Chaney. Remember Calbert Chaney?
Out of Indiana.
From Indiana, former Hoosier.
Sure.
But Isaiah Ryder, who once used the excuse that his pipes were frozen. Mm. That was an excuse for not making it to practice one day for the Timberwolves. That is, his pipes were frozen. He had heard that that is a usable excuse here in the Northland.
Yeah, pretty creative, I'd say.
I'm pretty sure that he was living in a place with his income, at his income level, that probably his pipes were not going to freeze.
Probably not.
Probably not. He's not living in a trailer where he forgot to insulate the skirting. Isaiah Ryder, happy birthday going out to Isaiah. What is he today? He is 54 for Isaiah J.R. Jr. Ryder.
Gone but not forgotten today. We're going to start with Clement Studebaker. Born on this day in 1831. Have you heard the name Studebaker? Well, he helped manufacture carriages and wagons in America.
Why not?
And eventually there would be some Studebakers that were cars.
So much better than DeSoto.
Yes, 1831. Let's see, who else? It's a lean list today. Let's go up to Glenn. We're going to go to Gordon McRae, one of my dad's favorites in Oklahoma and some other Rodgers and Hammerstein's movies. Gordon McRae, 1921.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day.
I think he's wearing the same handkerchief that Freddie wore from Scooby-Doo around his neck. It's blue. I believe it's the same one.
It's a nice look.
See, he's riding a horse, checking the area for strays, and also checking on the corn.
Right. Oklahoma. What
How's the corn looking there?
Well, Gordon could tell McRae. Yeah, he was, again, born on this day.
Hope you don't have any vomitoxin.
Astronaut Wally Schirra Jr., 1923, a part of the Apollo mission project from time to time. Let's see here. What about William Thomas Jr.? You maybe know him better as Buckwheat from Our Gang, 1931.
My Juliet, rock thou.
day for buckwheat.
Right,
he made a great Juliet.
Yeah, he was. He did a nice job. Buckwheat there.
Otay.
William Thomas Jr. was the actor again. That year was 1931. 1940, Grammy Award-winning singer Al Jarreau.
It's like, baby, it's something that we love to see. Every time we hear the music.
Pretty smooth there. Motown sound.
That recent documentary about the USA for Africa,
yes,
and We
yes.
Are the World,
yeah.
Found out that Al Jarreau likes his wine.
Right. He was imbibing.
He basically, he sang, of course, as a group there, and then he actually had a line or
yeah,
two
he did.
in the main line there, unlike Dan Aykroyd, which I wish they would have. But he basically was the man there who's providing the wine.
Correct.
So the people
somebody
could,
had
loosen up just a little bit.
Al Jarreau and his wine, Grammy Award winner, 1940. They're all gone, Jim, but not forgotten.
Your staff forgot one of the Statler brothers.
Oh, no.
Betty runs a trailer park. Jan sells Tupperware. Randy's on an insane ward. And Mary's on welfare. Charlotte took a job with Ford. And Joe took Freddie's wife. Charlotte took a millionaire and Freddie took his life.
Oh, it's so sad. Freddie took his life
yeah.
in the class of 57.
Right.
That's Lou DeWitt.
Sure.
Who we just had Jimmy Fortune yesterday.
Yeah, and Jimmy Fortune replaced
exactly.
Lou DeWitt.
Exactly. So how convenient is that, or how ironic that is? And Lou DeWitt, just like Jimmy Fortune, also played the guitar.
Mm.
As we mentioned before, the other Statler brothers were basically,
right.
you know, they were just singers, but Lou DeWitt and then followed by Jimmy Fortune, because in that video right there, Lou DeWitt is playing the guitar
very
as
nice.
He's singing that verse of the class of 57. He was born this day, 1938, died in 1990.
Ooh,
he had some kind of cancer or something, and he had to leave the Statlers and eventually did pass away. Lou DeWitt of the Statler Brothers. Now they're all
gone, but not forgotten.
Bobathon, No Repeat Workday starts out with one of these songs. Bellamy Brothers, If I Said You Had a Beautiful Body.
Mm-hmm.
Merle Haggard, Let's Chase Each Other Around the Room.
Mm-hmm.
Or Susie Boggess, Hey Cinderella.
Mm, boy, all dandies, but I feel like we should go ladies first today.
WQPM Princeton, WLKX Forest Lake, KDDG Albany, KDDG HD1 Albany St. Cloud, KDGY.